Because we treasure the Word of God, please stand as I read our opening scripture in preparation to receive today's message from the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you to bring a Bible so that you can also follow along. But Daniel chapter 11, verse 32 has been our key verse for this particular sermon series. And it says, "Those who do wickedly against the covenant shall corrupt with flattery." The second part of the verse is what I want you to get. It says, "But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out exploits." Daniel 11:32. You may be seated. Praise God. I want to encourage you. I am a technology guy. You know that. But I want to encourage you, bring a Bible. What happens one day or when the internet does fail? Would you know where to find Daniel? Is that New Testament, Old Testament? Is that, where would we find him? So I encourage you, bring a Bible. And those of you that do, I applaud you. I think that's awesome. And like I said, I do. I like my technology. I use it, and I think that's good. Things like YouVersion are great. They remind you when you didn't read, you missed a day. It reminded you, right? Yeah. And so those are good things. So we've been talking about Old Testament men of faith, and specifically speaking, we have been talking about Gideon. And that story is found in Judges chapter 6 and chapter 7. And I thought I was finished with Gideon last week, and the more I pondered it, prayed about it, I felt like there was still some dots we needed to connect and some dots we needed to emphasize. And so in preparation of that, I'm just going to just keep going, if that's all right with you. Is that good? You guys receptive of that? All right. So the overarching theme that we have been attempting to communicate in this series is that we need to know God better. And that's part of our church vision, right? We know God better because we study His Word and we study the character traits and what caused somebody, even under the old covenant, what caused them to know God in such an intimate way that God would use them, that God would be glorified and great victories would be wrought through them because they knew God. And God wants each of us, especially as New Testament believers, to know Him in such an amazing way that when people see us, they're experiencing Jesus. Now that may sound like a far-fetched thing for you, but isn't that what the Apostle Paul said? It's no longer I that lives in Philippians, but he said, it's Christ that lives in me. How do we allow Christ to live outside of us? Years ago they used to sing that song, "I've got something on the inside working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life." That's the beginning of the new birth experience. But with Gideon, we have learned over these last several weeks that Gideon learned about God, and God was extremely patient. I wrote this down, that as we've gotten to know Gideon, we learned that his humanity encountered God personally. And God transformed him into a mighty man. We learned in Judges 6 that process in Judges 6, when God appears to him with the angel and basically says, "Gideon, you mighty man of God," and Gideon was hiding at the moment. So God can handle your doubts. These are some of the themes that we've touched on these last several weeks. He can handle all of your issues. Everything that you bring to Him, He can handle it. He can handle your issues, your hang-ups, your family reputation. Hello? Gideon didn't have the greatest family in the world. They were the least of the tribe. They were idol worshippers. They were involved in some pretty despicable things with the worship of Baal and Ashtaroth. Involved in perhaps even human sacrifice. We are not talking about some nice people. But yet God could handle any of that. He could handle the background. He could handle the hang-ups. And even his self-image problem. His insecurities. God could handle all of that. In order to call out the champion that was inside of him. And guess what? If God would do that for Gideon, he'll do it for you.
Thank you, Lord.
So no matter what it is that you come to God with, his blood can take care of it all. His blood can wash away any hang-up, any foible, any addiction, anything of your past. And guess what? You get a new family in the process. I think that's pretty amazing. Sometimes we catch ourselves saying, well, my grandma always was a worrier, so I'm a worrier. Don't say that. You have a new family. Okay? Don't say that. You have a new DNA. When God became your father, you are not automatically chained to a DNA that passes junk down. Hello? I don't know who that was for, but I'm speaking to somebody.
Amen.
Don't buy into that. Well, that's just the way my family was. No.
That's right.
No. Don't. You have a new family.
Amen.
You have a new family. You have a new bloodline.
That's right.
And hallelujah, that bloodline, it can take care of any issue that you might have had. Okay? So praise God. So we learned in Judges 6 that that God can handle all those things in order to call out the champion inside of you. We learned in Judges 7 that faith requires trust completely. And that knowledge of trust, in Gideon's case, was a progression, right? Remember, Gideon threw out the fleeces at the end of chapter 6, and he's still not 100% sure. Then, he goes in the night to obey God. But he's still obeying God, but there's still a little bit of hesitancy there. Have you ever been that way with God? I don't know. I have. I'll tell on me. I have. Okay, God, are you sure? All right, I'm going to keep going this direction unless something else happens, right? But you're always, kind of wondering because we're so hardwired to the worldly way of doing things. That when God starts to get your attention to step out in faith or to do something that sounds crazy, right? Then what you do, you're constantly saying, is this me? Is this God? Or is it the devil or the pizza I ate last night? It's one of those things, right? And so we go through that checklist on the inside. But Gideon, God was so patient with him through that whole thing. And then when God gives him the big assignment in the first part of chapter 7, and you can go ahead and turn there, if you would, to Gideon chapter 7. I'm sorry. Judges. Gideon doesn't have a book. Judges chapter 7. I'm sitting here calling it Gideon chapter 7. Praise the name of the Lord. All right. So in Judges chapter 7, let's go ahead and start reading in that first part. Just kind of pick up there because, we're going to be connecting the dots of a lot of things that I've mentioned the last couple of weeks. And just there were a couple things that I really felt like the Lord wanted to almost go a little deeper in. Okay? And so there in Judges. All right. Judges chapter 7. And then this is when it says Jerubbaal, in other words, God had changed his name, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the well of Herod, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. Lest Israel claim glory for itself against me. So here he has 32,000 men, and God says, you have too many. Now, I don't know. I said this last week that if it were me, I probably would have just wanted to go with the 32,000, right? Mm-hmm. You know, because we're so wired to a worldly viewpoint all the time. So if we're going to know God better, then we have to know that sometimes He asks us to do things that are way out of the norm so that He gets all of the glory, that man can't take any of it. And so He asks Gideon, basically, to get rid of the fearful. Remember we said that sometimes you just got to flush the fear. You got to fumigate the fear out of your life. Don't feed fear. I'm going to say this, and it might make people a little uncomfortable. But if you're really into horror movies, you need to quit it. I'm serious. Because it just feeds fear. You don't need to feed fear. We are hardwired to fear. We need to renew our mind to think on things that are true, that are lovely, of good report. So if you enjoy horror movies, I'm just going to tell you, don't feed the fear. Don't feed it. Because the enemy just thrives on that. So I'm just throwing it out there. If you want to email me, you can. But it's a true spiritual principle. Don't feed fear. You've got to get rid of the fear. You've got to flush it. Go ahead and say it. Say flush it.
Flush
the fear. All right. All right, so that's what God did with the army, and He basically told, He said, anyone who's fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 of the people turned in. 10,000 remained, right? 22,000 of the people returned. He had 32,000 people, right? And 22 left. Now he's got 10,000, and God basically says, hey, there's still too many. And so what we're going to do is we're going to check to see how they drink water. God is just so detailed and so smart. He's so much smarter than we are. His ways are so much higher than us. But if we'll listen to Him, He will show us His ways. And we can start to think the way He thinks. And God basically tells them, all right, now take them down to drink water. I'll test them for you there. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go with you, and of whomever I say to you, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go. So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, anyone who gets down on his knees to drink, and the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. And then the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go, every man to his place. So now he's dismissed over 9,000, right? 9,000 people of his army get dismissed, almost the whole lot of them, and what he has left is 300. And I think it's really cool that God basically was saying to Gideon, those who are so wired, now I want you to get this, that are so wired to their flesh in the way that they drank water, versus the ones who were vigilant and drank water and cupped their hands. The ones who were just so oblivious to everything going on around them, they just were thirsty. Instead, God says, no, the ones who are alert, the ones who are alert. And so last week we said this, that we need to find focus. Find focus. Flush fear. Find focus in your life. Whatever it takes for you to find that focus, a time alone with God. You know, I grew up in a time when you learned to have devotions with the Lord, and then you beat yourself up when you missed them. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And yet I know still a lot of Christians who still don't even know how to have that intimate time with God. And I'm not condemning anybody. I think part of it is that the church hasn't taught them. We've taught information, and we haven't always taught transformation. Now, hear me really clearly on this. Information versus transformation. We don't need another church service. We don't need another sermon. We need transformation of the information that we already have. God has revealed himself through his holy written word. And I'm not telling you to get away from the word of God. The word will only confirm the transformative process that he does in you. When we have transformation, then that is an intimate relationship with God. We see this progression in Gideon's life. We see that now God gives him this mandate. He gives him this assignment to go and attack the Midianites. And God doesn't use the normal weapons that you would normally use. But God also knows that Gideon still needs a little confirmation about, hey, this is what I've called you to do. Aren't you glad God's patient?
Amen.
He's so patient with us, right? And so we see that not only did Gideon have to flush the fear, get rid of the ones who were going to hold them back, find focus, find people that were focused, but then, not only that, but then he tells them some things about, you know, he confirms, literally confirms. Go, you're there, and he says this, verse 9, it happened on the same night that the Lord said to him, arise, go down against the camp, I have delivered it unto your hand. But if you're afraid to go down to the camp with Purah, your servant, and you shall hear what they say. And afterwards, your hands shall be strengthened to go down against the camp. So God gives him confirmation and also gives him another extra promise. God's always extra. He's extra. He's always extra. If we're drawing up close to him and we know him, last week this phrase came out really strong. I know him, right? And because I know him, I hear him. And when I hear him, I obey him. I know him. Let's say it all together. Say, I know him.
I know him.
I hear him. And I obey him. So when you can rehearse that in your life, you know him, you hear him, and you obey him, then I'll tell you, that's life-changing. We can get so worldly focused instead of tapping into the Holy Ghost. That's why these services, when Pastor Christine is leading us and she is being led of the Spirit to take us in a direction with the Holy Spirit, to get us to a place to receive what God wants us to receive. That is a process, and that's why it's important for you folks, and I appreciate all of you who come, and I know sometimes people come late because they got to work, but get here so that you are ready to receive everything so that we can go together. God wants us to go together. He wants us to move together. Notice what happens. God brings that confirmation. So they go down. He takes Purah, his servant, and they go down to the Midianites and the Amalekites. And all the people of the east were lying in the valley, as numerous as the locusts. This is a big army. And I can see Gideon, you know, just sneaking in, you know, through the bushes, if you will, only to come upon somebody who's talking about having a dream. Verse 13, when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. He said, I have had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. Into the camp of Midian. It came to a tent, struck it so that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed. Verse 14, then his companion answered and said, this is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand God has delivered Midian and the whole camp. This is an unbeliever, a heathen, who is interpreting the dream of somebody else. And I'm thinking to myself, he supernaturally knows who Gideon is. Because remember, Gideon was a nobody. How is it Gideon has not done anything other than tear down his father's idols? That's the only reputation he has, and he did that in the dark of night. But somehow, Gideon's reputation supernaturally goes to the enemy's camp. And the enemy is afraid of Gideon. And God says, just strengthens and confirms in Gideon, I can do this with God's help. And God promised, listen, and when you go down, you're going to have your hand strengthened. Your hand is going to be strengthened. What does that mean? That means that God is going to go with them in battle, and he's going to do the battle for them. This is good stuff. And when you are in a situation where you need God to come through like never before, when you're in that situation, if you will keep leaning in, that was the phrase that God gave me for us this year. Lean in, come alive in 25, lean in. That means get on the edge of your seat. What are you going to say next? What are you going to say next, God? What are you going to say next? Whatever you say, I hear you because I know you, right? So let's say it out loud. Say, I know him.
I
hear him.
And I obey
him. Hallelujah. So we see what's going on with this this particular passage. We see then God basically gives him the plan. He gives him the strategy, if you will. God will give you specific strategy. He will give you specific strategy in the situation that you find yourself in. If you're getting an answer from a doctor, he might tell you to go to a different doctor and get a second opinion. He might tell you, check it out, you're healed. But check it out. Because God's word and God's power can stand up to any kind of test. Right? So you can do that. God will give you strategy on where to go and what to do next. Who to call. What that situation is. If you will lean in, he's talking all the time. We're not listening because we're too hardwired to a worldly way of working, a worldly way of figuring things out. The worldly way would have been to take 32,000 men against this army. That was the worldly way of thinking. God had a different plan in mind so that he could get ultimate glory. Right? So we see what happens. He tells them, so it was Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation, that he worshipped. How about that? His first response, even before the victory, he worshipped. That was his first response. His first response was, I worship you. Hallelujah. First response.
Hallelujah.
First response. Not, what am I going to do? I worship you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. You've got this, God. I know you can do this. I know you can do this. You've promised me. I know you can do this. I know you will do this. And I trust you. What is that? That is faith. We are known as a faith church. Right? That means we believe in God doing above and beyond and supernatural. We believe in trusting him for things that are bigger than us. We believe in trusting him for healing. We believe him for trusting him for provision. We believe God for big things. And God does big things for this church. He always has. In 23 years of existence, he has always done big things for this church. And when we take this scripture to heart, that when God gives you the instruction, He confirms what He's saying to you, our response, our first response should be a heart of worship. Amen. The scripture that I referred to you in Philippians 1:6, that was not in my notes for today's message. But I will tell you this, acknowledging everything, every good thing that you have in Christ is going to do nothing but invite God to be a part of things even more. When Gideon worshiped before he even took the steps of faith for the battle, he knew where his help came from. And he acknowledged how God was at work. Acknowledge how God is working in your life. Acknowledge Him because you know Him. Yes. You hear Him. Yes. And you obey Him.
That's right. Amen.
Hallelujah. You know Him. You hear Him. You obey Him. And as we see what's happening here, then he steps out. He steps out, and he returned to the camp of Israel. He said, "Arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand." Then he divided the 300 men into three companies. He put a trumpet into every man's hand. That was a lot of trumpets. That was a lot of trumpets. And I can only imagine what that would have sounded like. You hear what one sounds like. You can only imagine what 300 did. On all sides, they were surrounded. And notice what he says. It says, with empty pitchers and torches inside the pitchers. This is kind of odd. And he said, look at me and do likewise. Watch. And when I come to the edge of the camp, you shall do as I do. So that particular phrase that kind of came out last week was, what are we going to do? We're going to do exactly what God says do. So we actually say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to watch. I'm going to look, right? I'm going to look and I'm going to do what God is doing. So the phrase that came out last week was this. Here in my notes. Look, do. Where are we at here? Look, do. Watch, do. Blow the trumpet. I'm sorry. Oh, here it is. And say. Here it is. Look what God is doing. So it was look, do. In other words, do that. Watch what God is doing. Do that. Mm-hmm. Blow and bring God's presence and say some kind of announcement. So we see what he ended up doing. He said, look and do, watch and do, blow and say. I'm going to say that again because I muddled it in the first part there. Look and do, watch and do, blow and say. I'm going to say it one more time just for those of you that are taking notes. You look at what's going on. Look, do, watch, do, blow, say. Why is that important? Why is that important? Because our words and what we say are important. As we said, this trumpet, these trumpets that they blew, they were to send a clear message that God's presence was being pronounced in that situation. When we open our mouths and speak God's word, we are bringing God's presence to bear in a situation. You're praying for somebody, and the scripture comes up to you, you know, in 1 Peter, where it says, and by his stripes I am healed, or they are healed. What is that? That's invoking the presence of God through the Word of God in a clear and concise manner. Now, when you were a little kid, did you ever say the words abracadabra? Did you ever see a magician say those words? And he had like a top hat, and he's like, abracadabra? I found out something interesting this week. Do you know that those words, abracadabra, come from Aramaic and Hebrew origins? And many scholars believe that the meaning behind it in Hebrew and Aramaic, the language of Jesus, was, I say it and I make it. In other words, I bring it. I speak it into existence. Now, I'm not getting weird on you, okay? But I want you to hear what the Word of God says. The Word of God tells us that power and life is in our tongue. When we know that God spoke the world into existence. When we know that in Romans, it says that Abraham believed God, even against all hope. Abraham believed God, and it said, God who calls those things which be not as though they are. I'm not teaching you some new age, incantation. That's not what we're doing. But I want you to understand that there is power in your words when you speak. When Gideon marched into the camp and did exactly, they blew the trumpet, broke the jar, and God's light was revealed into the camp. And then they were to say and make a pronouncement about something. And what did they say? The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. The sword of the Lord. In other words, God is getting ready to clean your clock. And they ran in terror. They turned on each other, ran in terror. 300 men beat thousands and thousands and thousands of men. How? The power of God.
Amen.
When we know God in an intimate way and get to know Him even more, God will lead you into victory. He'll lead you into triumph. And it is by faith that you get to know Him. It is by faith that you spend time with Him. It's by faith that you lean in to what He's saying. Verse 19, so Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch. Just as they had posted the watch, they blew the trumpets, broke the pitchers that were in their hands, and the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers. What did they do? They were watching, they were doing. Right? They saw and they just obeyed. And I began to think about this and I said, faith comes by hearing and by hearing the word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, and I started thinking about the 300 men and their faith. They had to trust Gideon. And they had to trust God. Because they were hearing Gideon give this message. And don't you know that some of them might have said, Gideon, where's our sword? Gideon, you just gave me a horn. You just gave me a horn. Gideon, I got a torch. And you don't really want me to have it lit? Until we break the jar. Do you realize the faith that it took the 300 men? They too had to trust. They too had to say, God must be at work here. I'm going to trust. I'm going to lean in, even though it doesn't make sense to my natural mind. I'm going to lean in. And I'm going to trust that God is doing something. And when we put ourselves, whether we put ourselves in the place of the 300 men, or whether we put ourselves in the place of Gideon himself, God is always asking for trust. Trust. That is, we lean so heavily on Him that if He were to move, we fall. that we trust him for everything. As I said, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God, looking over and over and over again, looking for it, trusting him in obedience. This story teaches us that victory belongs to God, and that he works in ways that can sometimes seem impossible. Why did he choose torches? Because God wants to sometimes show us that his light lives inside of us. And when we are totally reliant on him, cracked pots, I heard one minister say. And the Apostle Paul said this, I didn't call you cracked pots, but cracked pots, so that the glory of God is revealed to those around us. And didn't the Apostle Paul say that we have this treasure in jars of clay? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. So we have this treasure. It's inside of us. The greater one lives on the inside of you and me. And if we will lean in, listen, I like it to add one thing to our little phrase. I see him. Just say that out loud. Say, I see him.
I see him.
And say, I know him.
I know him.
I hear him.
I hear him.
And I obey him. Say it again. Say, I see him.
I see him.
I know him.
I
hear him. And
I obey him.
I see him. Close your eyes right now. I see him.
I know him.
I hear him. And I obey him. Hallelujah. That's going to bring you to a place of victory. To a place, instead of always being the one who is defeated, you can be in a place of authority. You can be a place using the name of Jesus to walk in a different way as we go through our daily lives. To pronounce God's blessing, to pronounce God's proclamation, and God's victory in every single situation that you face. That comes your way this week. Up, I see him. I hear him. Oh, I know him. I hear him. Why? Because you've leaned in. You've said the greater one lives on the inside of me. You've acknowledged every good thing that is in you in Christ. And as you have done that, God's invitation to step in to situations is there. Instead of you ignoring him, instead of you trying to figure it all out in your human thinking, God steps in and says, I'm here. What's next? And he's got you. Amen. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, for teaching us some things of faith. We're a faith people. But faith, Father, without action and without knowing you, it's just religion. God, we don't want that. We want to know you. We want to know your ebbs and flows. We want to know when you say go and when you say do and what you say, so that we can do only what you tell us to do. Father, help us to live out the gospel. The gospel, this treasure in earthen vessels, so that those around in our family, in our workplace, in our school, that they will see the light and the glory and the power of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You receive God's word today?
Yes.
Say, I receive it. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's just stand to our feet. We have our sending out verse. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if anybody is watching online, or if anybody is here and they would like to receive the Lord in their lives and become a Christian, to literally walk into a new relationship with Christ or recommit your life to Christ, we're just going to pray a simple prayer out loud together. The Bible tells us that we believe in our heart, we confess, that's saying something, with our mouth. So let's pray together. Say, Father God, I come before you in the name of Jesus. I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. That he died for my sins. That he was raised from the dead. And he's alive. And I receive his forgiveness by faith. And I call Jesus my Lord and Savior from this day on. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we want to know about it, give you some things to help you in your journey and your walk with God. Let's say our sending out verse together and speak it over your life. Mean it when you say it. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121:7-8. God bless you. I'll be available down front if you need prayer. And praise God, you are dismissed. And ukulele practice will be happening in just a few moments.